Good morning, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful day. We continue where we left off. We are on the top, the first chapter of Matthias 5a. Dedicate this class, our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. All the hostages return home safely. The families, the little Nishmas, the love Nachman, and Moshe. Yesterday we learned an argument between Rav Chiya and Rav Sheshet. The Torah says that if a person demands you owe me $100 and you admit partially, so you have to swear. It's a biblical, one of the few three biblical oaths. One of the for arguments. You know, one is by one witness, one is mainly. One is a partial admission. But what if he says you owe me $100 and you take out of the cash out of your pocket and you say, yeah, I only owe you 50, and you get hand them the 50. So Rav Chiya says it doesn't matter, it's a partial admission. He asked for 100, you're only giving him 50, so you have to swear. Rav Sheshet says no. When you're giving it to him, when he has it in the hand, in his hand, so that's out of the picture. Now the whole argument is over the other 50. Here there's no argument. Here it's yours. Take it. So the whole argument is over the other 50. And the other 50 totally denies it. So there's no biblical oath. That's Rav Sheshet's opinion. That's the halacha. So yes, according to Rav Sheshet's opinion, that halach, you're exempt from an oath. Biblically, you're exempt from an oath. Why do I need a special pasuk to say that if the argument is over a piece of property? He says that you, this is my property, and you partially admit. You say, well, half of it is yours, half of it is mine. We're partners in it. So there's no oath. The Torah says it's only movable items. But every case of real estate property is a case of halach. It's there. You can't move property. It's right here. It's right in front of you. You can't steal property. It's right in front of you. So when he says partial admission, it's halach. It's a case of halach. Here it is. So how could it be? Why do I need a pasuk to tell me? A special pasuk to teach me that you're exempt from swearing in a case of a partial admission. When it comes to property, even without this verse, I would know it. Because it's halach. Even with movable items in a case like this, you wouldn't swear. Hakol karka halachu. So the Gemara answers, I'm a lot of sheshes, will tell you, I do need a pasuk. Hecher, in a case, the chafer ba'beder sichem ma'idus. If he dug up the property, he changed the property. You can't say halach, here it is. Because he changed it. So it's not the way it was.
You mean he moved the marker?
He ruined it. He ruined the property. He ruined the property. So you ruined it. You can't say, there it is. I say the property the way it was. It was a good property. Now you came and you ruined it and destroyed it. So it's not a question of halach. It's not halach. You're not giving it to me as is, as it was, as I am demanding. You're not giving me anything as that I'm demanding.
Pits and ditches and
right.
Inami
or hey, the tonu kelim karkois, vayde bekelim karkois. We said, what if he demands movable items and property? He admits that he owes him the utensils or the implements, and he owes him that, but he denies the property. So in this case, it's a partial admission. He demands you owe me property, plus you owe me $100. And he admits that he owes him the $100, but he denies that he owes him the property, the property belongs to him. So here, he's not El Halach, he's denying the property. He's not giving him the property. What he's denying is, he's denying the property, and he admits that he owes him money. So there's no question of it. So I need a pasuk to tell me in a case. I wouldn't know that with other than the pasuk. I need a special pasuk to teach me. In this case, there's no oath. Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, I'll bring you a proof whether halach. You have to swear in a case of halach or not. The Torah says that the shemer, the four shemer, you know, the Bailey, the custodian is doing you a favor, watching it for free, or you're getting paid, or he's renting from you, or he's borrowing from you. All these cases, you have certain arguments. Every one of them has a certain argument which exempts them from paying if anything happens. If it's lost or stolen, or an accident happened, or it died while it was working, you know. for the borrower. So the Torah says you have to administer an oath. You don't just take their word for it. Even though we don't know, maybe they're telling the truth. Doesn't matter. The Torah says they have to swear. They have to swear. It's one of the three shavuos, you know, with claims. So there are three shavuos besides the seita, which are biblical. This is one of the three. And he has to swear that they have to swear that they don't have the animal. So he says that all of these cases, you have to be, it has to be a partial admission. In other words, let's say he gave him three animals to watch. He demands it back. So one of them, he admits, yes, I'm watching one animal. The second one, he denies. And the third one, he says it was stolen. You understand? It was three animals. So one, he says, yes, I owe you, and here it is, I'm giving it back to you. The other one, he denies. It never happened. And the third one, yes, you gave it to me, but it was lost. It was stolen. And he has to swear that he doesn't have it. Say chidami, how is this? Lav damal hela? Surely if he's watching an animal, the animal is right here. He can't use the animal, he can't borrow the animal, he's watching it, he can't use it for himself. So the animal is right there. So if he admits that he has the animal, so he tells the owner, here's the animal. So it's a case of hela. In the case of hela. So, and yet he says that this is a case of partial admission, and you swear. What is this like? No, that's not the case. The case the Braise is talking about, the Amalei, the owner says to the custodian, I gave you three cows, and they all died, so pay me for three cows. Amalei, you, and the custodian responds, no, one cow, one never happened. You only gave me two cows. Mechada, one of these two that he admits Mesa Bainus. It was an accident that. Mechada, one of them Mesa Bapshia, one of them was my fault. I was negative. I take responsibility. I'm gonna pay. So neither of them is a case, so there's no halach here. He's not giving him anything. So it's a case of partial admission. Right? He admits, he demands three and he says two. And the Torah says that for the oinav, when he says that one of the two that he admits, he says an accident happened, and he has to swear that an accident happened, and then he's not holding on to it. So this is a case of a partial admission. Okay, Toshma, bring your proof. Tony Abu the Rabbi of Turki, the father. The father, Rabbi Abtoiriki, said, Rabbi Chia, come on. He said, on Rabbi Chia's din, Mon, the Libi Yod, Aloy, Merein, Lefo Yod, the Klum, Vedim, and Shia, Vedim, Hamishim, Zuz. The first case of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia taught two things. One thing is, we're discussing, a Hela. The other thing is, that if he denies, someone says you owe me $100, and you deny 100%, you deny the category, you don't owe him a thing. Two witnesses come and say you owe 50, you owe partial. You do owe. So he says you have to swear. The defendant has to swear a biblical oath, even though he's denying the whole thing. But witnesses testifying shouldn't be less effective than a partial admission. So Rav Chia, the father of Rabbi Apetrike, he says different. He says that if he demands $100, and he says no, he denies the whole thing. And to witness testify, he owes 50. Yochel Yishav Al Ashar. You would think he has to swear. It's the equivalent of a partial admission. Tamalim it says Akol Aveda Sheyemek Ki Hu Zeh. The Torah says Ki Hu Zeh Yemek. Only when he admits his personal partial admission, only then does the Torah obligate him to swear. But if he denies it totally, witnesses come and say, no, he's a liar, 50% of the oath, then there's no oath. So what do we see? Asking, he's going back to the first Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya said, he's asking Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya is a Chamoira, and here's a Tana, the father of Rabbi Apeitrike. So the mother says, what are you asking Rav Chiya? Masnisa Garam is he asking a question Rav Chiya, a Mishnah? Rav Chiya, Tana, but Rav Chiya is also considered a Tana. He's the student of Rebbe, and he's considered a Tana. He has a right to argue. And of course, the law follows Rav Chiya, that you do swear. Mother of a Krakamer, but brings a proof from the pasuk. He who's there, Yoimak is there, only when he personally admits. What is this? Ahul Moide Mixes Hatayin. That pasuk is coming to teach me. It's coming to teach me that in partial admission you have to swear. And from there we learn a Kalvachayimah. How much more so in the case? If a partial admission you have to swear, how much more so? If two witnesses come and testify that he has to pay partially, and he has to swear on the rest as well. As we learned yesterday, Kal v'chomer. Avur the Rabbi Apturiki who argues, he'll tell you, Amala, he'll tell you. Ksiv hu, ksiv zeh. He says, who, him, and zeh. This. Chad, one is l'chayim, made the mixer of time. One is coming to teach me that in your partial mission you have to swear. And the other one, the extra one, is comes to teach me that witnesses testify and you're exempt from swearing. One pasuk is made of mixes atayna, and one of them is made of minatayna. That you're only obligated if you're admitting the same thing. For example, if he demands you owe me a bushel of wheat. And he gives a partial admission. He says, no, I don't owe you wheat, I owe you barley. In that case, not only doesn't he have to swear, he doesn't have to pay him anything. Doesn't he have to pay him barley? Why? Because he admits that he owes him barley. But the other one, by saying, you owe me wheat, he's saying, you don't owe me barley. So if he says, you don't owe me barley, and he says, I do owe you barley, who are you going to believe? You believe the owner. He doesn't owe you barley, and you don't have to pay him. That's what he says, Kiyuzeh, that it has to be, the admission has to be the same thing that he's claiming. Idach, who says, I need the Braise to teach me that only a partial, personal, a partial admission you have to swear or not when the witnesses. Where do we learn this law that it has to be, you have to admit the same thing that he's claiming? Wait a minute, I know Leslie. Hitaka doesn't hold it. He doesn't hold it. There's no pasuk to teach me that. Rabbi Gamliel holds that you are liable, even if the owner claims you owe me a bushel of wheat. And the person admits, he said, I don't know your wheat, or your barley. So he says you would have to swear. You might have said, "Who did I? There was a shepherd or a Muslim." Every day, the people would give him over their animals in front of witnesses, and they told him, "Don't return it to us." Also before witnesses. In other words, everything was recorded. We know, okay, this is how many animals we gave you, and at the end of the day, we want to make sure, we want to certify that you. So don't give us back on your own. Make sure there are witnesses who can testify. One day, they handed him over the sheep with the animals without witnesses. The same at the end of the day. And the owners came to take their animals. He denied the whole thing. He said, today, I didn't watch your animals. You never gave me any animals to watch. Also, Sadi, witnesses came. And they testified. He ate two of them. He had a nice lunch, a nice steak. Some Rabbi Zayda said, "The Misa Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa." If we hold like Rabbi Chiya, the first law of Rabbi Chiya, that this is like a partial admission. When two witnesses come to a partial admission, Mishtabesh Shari has to swear on all the other sheep. Amle Abaye said to him, "Misa Mishtabesh." How could he? We have two witnesses to testify that he stole. He had no right to eat those animals. He was a shepherd, a custodian. He had no right to use it for himself. So he's a thief. Rav Chi is talking about a case of a loan or a custodian. So there you say, and even though he lied, witnesses came and said he's lying. He denies the whole thing was because they were saying he really wants to pay back. He just doesn't have the money. He's just trying to give himself some more time, buy some time. The same thing is with the, he's watching something. Maybe it's lost or it's grazing somewhere and he has to go find it. So he denies it to give him time, buy some time to be able to return it. But his intention is to return it. He's an honest person. He's not a thief. Here he actually stole it. He used it for himself. He has no right. So how could you make him swear? His oath is worthless. Of course he'll swear falsely. It doesn't mean anything. Amalei. So he answered, Abzeid answered, so connected, coming, amen, not he. Not that he swears. He can't swear because he's a thief. But the claimant, the owner, the demander, he can swear and he can take. Like the rabbis say, that if the person who's supposed to swear, meant to swear, can't swear, then the rabbis transfer the oath to the claimant, he can swear and collect. Even without the dinner of Chia and the Chayve, he should have to swear. But the Rav Nachman, even without the law of Rav Chia, we'd make him swear. Like Rav Nachman, we learn in the Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah Shavuot, someone says, you owe me $100, and the defendant says, you have nothing by me, I don't know you a dime, but he doesn't have to swear. But Rav Nachman says, even though biblically he's exempt from swearing, the rabbis enacted that he should swear. Yes. So too.
He gave it to the defendant, right?
No, the defendant has to swear that he owes nothing. And so too over here, he has to swear even though he denies everything. But the bottom line is, rabbinically, he has to swear. So you might answer, Rav Nachman Takanti. Rav Nachman, swearing is an enactment, a special enactment. Because biblically, you don't have to swear. But Rav Nachman said rabbinically. The cantal, we continue on 5b. The cantal, to do an enactment for an enactment. So since the whole Shavuot Hesed is only rabbinic, the rabbi never made another enactment on top of that. And if on top of the other, if he can't swear because he's a thief, then let's transfer the oath to the claimant, let him swear and collect. That's what Abzeid has to say. No, that he's biblically obligated. Now that he's biblically obligated, a biblical oath, now we can make an enactment and transfer, since he can't swear, he's a thief, we can make the enactment, a rabbinic enactment, and transfer the oath to the claimant so he can swear and collect.
The guilty one is liable to lashes and just casts down and lashes. I mean, basically stating
the Why does Abaye say that he can't swear? Because we have witnesses that says that he stole, even without them. Every shepherd can steal, can swear, because we assume every shepherd is a thief. Since he's a shepherd, a shepherd is not qualified to swear, because surely he grazes the sheep in other people's lands and he's stealing, so he can't swear. Right. It's not a contradiction. But the day of the Alma. Rabbi Huda that says that every shepherd is can't swear. Speaking about if he's shepherding his own flock, because he wants his flock to go graze in other people's land. But Hada Alma, here we're talking about a person who's a shepherd, he's doing a job, he's hired. to take care of the flock of his people, of his city. So he has no interest in stealing. He's not going to sin. You're only going to sin if you can get a benefit. Why should I sin? Not even for myself. So I'm going to do something criminal and sin. So in this case, the only reason, that's what he has, because he's a thief. That's why he's not believed. That's why his oath is worth. If you're not going to say that, you're going to say that every shepherd, even if you're a shepherd of other people's flock, other people's animals, you're disqualified from spirit. How could we give over, then what permission do we have to give over our flock, our sheep, to the hands of the shepherd, knowing that he's going to go and steal? Not to place a stumbling block before a blind person. So I'm giving him the tools in which to create a crime. I'm a partner in crime. Is the reason I'm allowed to give over my flock to the shepherd, because we have a rule. A person doesn't sin if you're not going to benefit from it. My Yetzirah is only interested if I'm going to sin, if I'm going to gain from it. I'm going to have fun. Something good will come from me. If I don't gain anything, I should sin selflessly. I should sin selflessly. I want to commit a crime to help my friend, even though I'm not gaining a penny. That doesn't work. Every criminal, what's in it for me? Otherwise, the criminal is out of the picture. Mishnev, two people are holding on to the cloak. This one says, I found this one, I found this one. Says, I bought it, it's mine, this one, I bought it, it's all mine. So he swears, doesn't have less than half. He's affecting murders. Mother's ass. Al the Islam Mishtaba, al the Leslie Mishtaba. What's he swearing? He's swearing on the half that he has. That I have? Al the Leslie Mishtaba. Or he swears on the half that he doesn't have. Does he say positive or negative? Does he say positive? I swear that I have half, or I swear I don't have less. I don't have. I don't have less than half. I don't have a quarter or a third. I don't have less than half. Make more sense to say I owe half. So then he's lying. If he says I don't have less than half, that could mean one of two things. It could mean I don't have a third, I don't have a quarter, I don't have less. If the truth is he only has a third, he only has a quarter, by swearing I don't have less than half, he's lying. You do have less than half. You have a third, you have a quarter. So he's saying, no, I don't have a third, I don't have a quarter. But I don't have less than half could also mean I have nothing. I don't have less than half. I have nothing. I don't have less than half means I don't have a third. I don't have a quarter. Either it can mean I have a half or it can mean I have nothing. So he's not lying. No, he can't say a 50. If he has anything, but it's less than half, then he's lying. You say if he has a 50, then it's less than half. So if he swears I don't have less than half, so he says, but he doesn't have anything. But if he doesn't have anything, he can also say I don't have less than half. You know why I don't have less than half? Because I have nothing. So then he's not lying at all. He's not swearing. So he's not swearing falsely. So the oath won't deter him. No, the Mishnah is very short, very brief. The Mishnah is cryptic. He says, this is what he says. First he has to start out. I swear that I have something here. Something of this garment is mine. Oh, now that you're admitting that something is a garment of your mind, then he adds, I don't have less than half. So I'm not lying. If in truth I only have a third or a 50th or a 10th or a quarter, then I can't swear that I don't have less than half. I do have less than half. So I'm saying I don't have less than half. I have at least 50%. Okay. Thank you, Marvin. Name, why don't we say Shavuot Shekula Shali? He argues that the whole thing is his. So why doesn't he swear that he has? It's all his? Thank you, Marvin. Evenly Kula, we don't give him the whole thing. We don't give him the whole thing. How could he swear the whole thing is his and the other one will also swear the whole thing is his when we're only giving each one a half?
So right. So then the court will be making one of them swear falsely. And both of them screw because we're not giving them half. We assume maybe they both picked it up together, maybe they're partners. But if a name, why don't we say Shavuot Shechatz Shali? Very clear. Shavuot Shechatz Shali. Swear that half is mine. But it says Medelel Dibudi, but he says no. He's arguing, it's not half is mine. The whole thing is mine. So now he's changing his mind. It sounds like I'm changing my mind. I'm saying only half is mine. We can't make him swear something that contradicts what he's arguing. Now you're only making him swear in half. But he says no. Amari says coolishly, I know the whole thing is mine. But according to you, the rabbis, you don't believe me. So I'm saying Shavuot, she actually bothered I have something in this garment, but at least half. I am claiming the whole thing. I'm ready to swear for the whole thing. But you're not letting me. You're saying I have to split it, I have to divide it. So I'm saying I have something in this garment. Something in this garment is surely mine. I don't have less than half. Since both of them, this one is holding on to the garment. Is that tough as ever? The other one is also holding on to the garment. What do you have to swear? Just divide it. Split it down the middle. What's the point of swearing? It's a special enactment by the rabbis. Really, there's no need for this oath. But the rabbis made it a special enactment. They should swear. Why? I see you're wearing a nice suit. I'll just come and grab it and say it's mine.
They were trying to prevent all right. these shenanigans.
Exactly.
In both
now that's a deterrent. Oh, I'm gonna
buying and selling.
Right. To swear, that's a deterrent. Right. You might have a name. Why don't you say Migoy the Choshen of Amayin Choshen Ameyashuasa? Since we suspect that one of them stole it. That he grabbed the suit or from his friend or the dress from a friend.
And then here is all.
So why don't we say if you suspect him for stealing, why don't I suspect that he'll swear falsely also? What's the oath going to help? If a person can go and grab someone's garment, he can also steal. If he can steal, he can lie and swear with a straight face also.
Yeah, sure.
What's going to stop him? Why is that a deterrent? How is this going to be a deterrent? If a person lies and likes what you're wearing, he'll come and grab it. And swearing, so he'll swear falsely also. If he can steal, he can also swear falsely. The same Hashem.
Especially
a rabbi
looking at you in the face.
Exactly. Exactly. The mother says, we don't say. Even a person who we suspect of stealing won't swear falsely. When it comes to swearing, he's afraid. Like, hey, Machi, if you don't say that, hi, why do the Taita say if a person is a partial admission and we suspect that he's lying and really he owes the full thing and he's only partial admission? So the Taita says biblically you have to swear. Why would the Taita make him swear? If he's a liar, if he's a thief, if he's trying to steal his friend's money, then he'll swear falsely also. So you see that even though a person is a thief, but it comes to standing in the court, holding the Torah, and swearing, he's afraid. Holding Hashem's name, swear before Hashem, I'm a bum and I'm a lowlife, but I have my limits, there are red lines that I won't cross. So it is a good deterrent. The Gemara says, no, there, that's not a proof. From there is not a proof. I say to myself, really he's an honest person. He knows he owes the full. And he's planning to pay him full. But he just needs some time. He's buying himself some time. He doesn't have the money now. So that's why he's denying it, to buy himself some time. So since he's essentially an honest person, yes, what he's saying is a lie, but his intent is... He's honest, he wants to pay back. He's trying, he's lying in order that he should be able to pay back, buy himself some time to pay back in full. So therefore, we can make him swear because it's he'll tell the truth. He's not going to swear falsely. Kidderab, Teda, proof. That we're not worried that maybe he's trying to steal. But that he's only trying to buy some time. If someone denies the loan, he says, you owe me money. He says, never happened. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then witnesses come and say, and testify that he's lying. He did borrow. Kosher le'edis, he's still a kosher witness. Why? He tried to steal money from his friend, denied that his friend lent the money. Because we say that really his intent was he wants to pay back. He's just buying time. But because in the case of if he's a custodian, he denies, pasaleidis. Because here you can't say he's buying time. What do you mean buying time? You're not allowed to use your friend's item that you're watching for him. So how could you, what do you mean you're denying? You're denying, you're planning to steal it. You're planning to steal it.
And you mentioned that, it's like, oh yeah, that's a good point. We never really talked about that. Mm-hmm. So then we talk about the specific sentence.
So if he has it, just admit it.
And a guilty one gets lashed. And you think about it, at first glance, the anticipation of what I had was...
If he lost it, he can always swear that it was lost, so he doesn't have to pay. So therefore, if he's lying, therefore... Then he becomes disqualified as a witness. He's established as a thief. His intentions are not pure. His intentions are he's a thief.
Well,
can't bring a proof.
Exactly. Exactly.
So he can't bring a proof from a partial admission that even though someone we suspect someone of stealing, even if he's a thief, he won't dare swear false. But I'll bring you another proof. Hello. We learn the Brais. Arbor Shemrin, the four Bailey's custodians. We learned earlier that when the Torah, the Pasuk that says about partial admission is right in the middle of the heart of where it speaks about Parshat Mishpatim, which speaks about the Bailey's and custodians. So earlier we learned, if you remember, Baba Kama, we learned that it's not in the right place. It's an independent, even though it's placed right in the heart of the discussion of custodians, has nothing to do with custodians. It's a case of partial admission. You have to swear, biblically you have to swear. But the Rabbi Bar Chama brings a bride and says, no. The Torah is speaking about the case of the four Baileys, the four custodians, because the teacher says, when does the Torah say that you swear the special oath, not the oath of a partial admission, in the case of a partial admission, but the oath of a shomer, that what you're saying is correct, it was lost, it was stolen, or an accident happened, or died, or in the case of a borrower, it died while it was working, and that you don't have it in your property, you're not planning to steal it, it's something real, you no longer have it. When does that happen? Only in the case where there's also a partial admission. Like we learned, we have a case of three animals. He says, I gave you three animals to watch. And he denies one, and he admits one. Yes, one I owe you. And the other one, he says, an accident happened. And besides swearing the partial admission, that he denies the one that he denies, the third sheep that he denies. On top of that, he also has to swear. In that case, he swears the shvu of the shemrim that he watched appropriately, wasn't negligent, and that it was actually lost, and he doesn't have it, etc. So what's the question? In the case of Pikadin, you can't say he's trying to buy time. What do you mean buying time? If he has the animal, he has to have it. He can't use it for himself. So if he's denying it, he's a thief. So if he's a thief, what does it help to make him swear? Why are you making him swear? Because I suspect that he's lying. If you suspect that he's lying, swearing is not going to help. Right, he'll lie on the oath also.
His oath is a lie.
Exactly.
Everything's a lie.
You might have said, you might have answered, Hasan Nami over there also, Shtamutikam Rishtam. He's also trying to delay. Really, his intentions are pure. The reason he's denying it is because it's already holds. I'm going to find the thief and I'm going to return it. He takes responsibility. I want to give him back. But he doesn't have it. Inami or Meshkach Libagam. He left it wandering out there in the swamp. He doesn't have it right now. So he needs time. He's trying to delay, buy time to go fetch it, to bring it back to him. But his intentions are pure. That's why maybe he'll say so he will swear. He won't swear falsely. Or my sinale. That's the case. You just finished saying that if someone denies everything, and then witnesses come. He says, you owe me $100, and he denies, and the witnesses come and says he indeed owes $100. He's not disqualified from being a false witness. Why? He just tried to steal $100. I have witnesses that say he just stole $100. No, he wasn't planning to steal $100. He was trying to buy time. But we said in the case of Picard, in the case of a Bailia custodian who denies, we say, no, he's a thief. And then he denies the whole thing. A witness has come and say, no, he is a custodian. Then he's disqualified as a witness because he's an established thief. Why? You just said that even in the case of a custodian, he's not necessarily that he's an established thief. Maybe he's just trying to buy time. Am I possible? His name is Shtemuti, come Shtemuti.
I don't know. I mean,
till I'll find it, I'll look for it, and I'll find it, I'll return it. Gemara answers, "Ki, I mean, when do we say okay, because of the puzzle leaders? When do we say going to also sadi basidi be shaydis because of the base? You're right. It's only in the case where the witnesses come and say, what do you mean? It's right in his house. Look in his backyard. It's right here. So he has no excuse. So it's an established fact that he's a thief. Established fact that he's a thief. He's disqualified from being a witness. Or a case." That when he said, when he denied it, he actually had it in his hand.
It was in his pocket.
In his pocket, right? Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're like an idiot, you have a 17.
Okay, so what's the proof? So we don't have a proof. All of these cases, we're denying, we're saying there's no proof. All of these cases, the Torah makes you swear in the case of a Shomer. In the case of the Torah makes you swear because maybe your intentions are pure. You don't have any bad intentions. So how do we know that in the case that even though we do suspect that you're a thief, nevertheless you won't dare swear falsely? That's your red line you won't cross. Where do we see this? Ella mahodam Rav Huna. We can derive this from Rav Huna said.
He said, you'd rather pay than swear.
That we make him, that if a person is a Bailia custodian and he claims that it was an accident happened, and the Torah says he has to swear. He doesn't want to swear. He says, I'm telling the truth, but I'm afraid of an oath. I don't want to swear falsely. And I'll pay. So we say, not so fast. Maybe you want to hold on to it.
It's amazing that when
so you're claiming an accident happened, and you pay for it because you like it. I like this animal. This horse is one in a million horse. So yeah, I'll say an accident happened. I'll pay you fully. I'm not a thief. I don't want to take the money, but I want to keep it. So you have to swear that you don't have it somewhere hidden away. Question is, if you suspect it, that he's taking it and stealing it for himself, even if he's planning to pay for it, doesn't matter. He's chambas, you're forcing it. So chashan
hashvoasa. So he steals the cow.
Steals the cow, holds on to it. Claims an accident happened.
Since he has to pay
you suspect him that he stole, and nevertheless you make him swear. What's the point of making him swear? Make up your mind. The swearing is not going to clarify anything. If he stole, he'll swear falsely. He might say, "Hasam nami over there also." There also, he's not a bad person, and he wouldn't be disqualified to be a witness also, because he's paying money. Only if you steal here, I forced you to sell it. You were not interested in selling it. I made up a bubba mice that it was lost, it was stolen, but I paid you in full. So he thinks to himself, hey, I'm not such a bad guy. Of course, he would never agree to sell it, but the bottom line is he didn't lose anything. I gave him money. So therefore, he's a good witness, and his oath, we trust his oath. He's not a bad person, he's not a thief.
I forgot, but I see it. I'm on the website. The white cover, I think.
But still, he violated the biblical prohibitions. You're not allowed to desire your friend's item and force him to sell it to you. The Gemara answers, is only if you don't pay for it. For most people think that the prohibition of leisachmid is they're not allowed to steal it from him. You covet and you want it and you grab it from him. They don't. If you pay for it, no, he's not. He's not such a scholar. He's not such a scholar. He's not such a scholar. He didn't go to the Daf Yomi class. in the koil. It doesn't come to the koil in the morning. It's too early. He thought it means don't grab it. But not that you shouldn't even covet it, even if you're paying for it. So in his eyes, he's not such a terrible person. We continued. Everyone, one thing. We left in the middle. Like, where? What's the proof? We still don't have any proof that if, even though a person is, we suspect that he's a thief, but nevertheless, this is a red line he won't cross. He won't swear falsely, and that's why we believe his oath. If he swears to us that he didn't do it, we believe him. Everyone, have a wonderful.